Three friends.
Three cities.
One question.
How can we turn this world around?
You're on with Earth Friends.
Hey guys, welcome back to our next episode. So since we started the Earth Friends, we've always wanted to do this next topic that's lined up for you guys. So we are very excited to introduce you to our next guest. With her own unique style and the will to reverse the harsh realities of the fashion industry, our next guest is taking a circular approach to tackle the industry's pressing waste issue. After firsthand experience in the industry with one of the leading retail brands in the globe, she decided to take on the challenge herself. Yes, U-Cycle is a clothing line that creates end-to-end designs for the day-to-day corporate workplace. Please give a warm welcome on the women behind, one of the women behind the project, Miss Madame Carmela Fortuna. Hello, hello.
We are on.
Let's go. Why, Madame? Why, Miss? Hello. Yes. Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome on the pod.
Yeah, so this episode features Carmela's brainchild along with her mom called U-Cycle. And this episode is called Slowing Down Fashion's Need for Speed with Carmela Fortuna. Yeah, so how are you?
I'm okay naman. I mean, just working from home today. How are you?
We're good.
Nicole, how are you?
How are you there?
I'm doing okay over here. Thanksgiving break. So happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners and also happy Thanksgiving to our Pinoy listeners.
Yay.
Yes.
Did you mention earlier Friendsgiving?
Yeah, I'm in a Friendsgiving now. Yeah. Have you had so much lechon? And like Deli Mondo lasagna. Wow.
Oh my gosh. When I heard about Deli Mondo, so the corned beef lasagna, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. What? There's corned beef lasagna?
Yup. Deli Mondo pa. The best.
Like Americans so are more Pinoy than us.
Yeah. The lechons are chicken. Are
turkey. OFW food of choice. Deli Mondo chili garlic corned beef.
Yeah. And everyone brought our rice cookers.
What?
It was bring your own rice.
Is everyone Pinoy there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So all my Pinoy community here. So everyone brought their rice cookers because everyone was like, we don't have enough rice for everyone. So I was like, okay, we'll bring rice. So everyone brought rice cookers. So there was like three
DIY
rice cookers.
Bring your own rice.
Yeah. And then one rice in like a Ziploc.
Love it.
Sounds fun.
Okay. So kicking off the episode, Carmela, we know that you worked in Uniqlo or Uniqlo. I don't know how exactly you're supposed to say it. What was your experience working with Uniqlo? And then how did that evolve into working and starting U-Cycle?
I started Uniqlo like right out of college. So, Carrie, when did we graduate? 2017. So, it was my first job. We graduated in May. Carrie, am I right? I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
And then my initial plan was I wanted to study fashion more. I wasn't sure if it was like design or marketing, whatever, but basta, I wanted to study fashion. But at the time, like my three passions were business, fashion, and Japanese culture. So when I got the job at Uniqlo, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Let me try this. So after 5 months, I started working now, mga like 5 months or something. And then I started as like a management trainee, and then after a few months, I got promoted to store manager, and then I handled my own store. Podium. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know it, Nicole?
Podium.
Yeah, so I handled that for a few months, and then I was lucky enough to be offered the opportunity to work in Tokyo and train there. Yeah, they called it like the Global Leadership Development Program. Mm-hmm. And then the intention there was for me to like train under the highest level of store management.
Yeah.
And also to create like a strong network between the headquarters here and the headquarters there. So I was in Tokyo for a year. It was the hardest year of my life. I'd say definitely the most challenging, especially because of the language barrier and everything. Mm. But I learned so much there, and I'm like super thankful for that experience. So after a year, I got back here and I handled a large store. So anyway, at the time, maybe like this time last year, I was having medyo like an existential crisis, ewan thingy. Nah, I was thinking about my life in 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about with what I'm doing now, can it satisfy me just working for this brand and working for someone else? So I was thinking about what impact I could have in the industry, especially in the Philippines, beyond just like aesthetics or just being like, you know, a cog in a machine. So yun. So I was thinking, like, what is it that fashion professionals, because I'm not a designer, but I mean, I love fashion and I love the operations of it. But what is it that fashion professionals should have as like an underlying principle to their work? So like what constitutes good design? And I mean, we're all of the same age-ish. And we grew up with, you know, the rise of fast fashion. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, that's when, you know, Zara and H&M, they hit their peak. But I mean, the culture with that is, you know, buying and then wearing for a short amount of time and then discarding it. So what does that say about the value of fashion? Or what we're doing as fashion professionals. So I was thinking, barring there's a flaw. And like, there's a fundamental flaw in the accounting system where we're not taking into account, I think, nature or the cost to society. So that was going through my head. And then my mom naman, she's been in the industry, the image consulting and the corporate wear industry for around 10 years now. And she was talking to me about maybe incorporating like a take back system into what she was doing. So she was designing and manufacturing for companies like hotels, integrated resorts, airlines. So she wanted to offer her clients the option of returning their old uniforms so that she can recycle them.
That's brilliant.
Or
repurpose them. So I was like, hey, mom, parang that's a good idea. But at the time, she was like super busy, Rin, because she had so many other things to deal with. And this was like all in her head. So we had a very serious conversation Feb of this year. We finally incorporated the company in May. Yeah. You've mentioned it earlier, Carrie, that what we do is we create end-to-end solutions for corporate wear. So ultimately, our mission is we want to prolong the value of products and materials. It's very simple.
You know, that's honestly so profound, because even students, like, what do you do with the old uniforms that you have? And if there are any outfits that will become outdated the soonest, it would be the ones that you wear for work or for like places that require actual uniforms. So that's a very good start. And I saw your catalog. You guys repurpose also different things, not just clothes. So there's so many solutions.
Thanks for looking at the catalog.
I looked at everything, Carmela. I looked at everything.
Oh, really? Yay, thank you so
They're
much.
They're so cute.
When you were working with Uniqlo in Japan, what were the biggest things you noticed about, like, would you even consider Uniqlo fast fashion?
I guess it's a very contentious topic.
It's such a gray area, because me and my sisters were talking about, we just did this big rummage of all to clean our closets, because we're not hoarders, but we're not single use. Like, we don't buy things just for occasion. We're the type of people
never bought a Halloween costume. We always just repurchase.
I love that. Single use.
Halloween costume. So we always like repurposed stuff from our closets and or like borrowed from our Lola's closet.
Yeah. My God, mama, maano pa ako. I know that Uniqlo does. No, the bottom bayan, wait lang. Girl, I don't know if we can ano. But anyway, I know that Uniqlo, they don't consider themselves as fast fashion. Why? Because their principle is life wear. So clothes to make, you know, your life better, simple, quality, etc. But the thing is, in terms of, you know, the business model itself, like Zara, H&M, etc., they still come up with new items every week. So that in itself, right, it's not, it's still fast
fashion. Every week?
But I mean, that's wow. The OG fast fashion. You have the new age fast fashion, like Fashion Nova.
Oh, Sheen, yeah. Green,
whatever.
Misguided, all that nasty stuff.
Yeah, wherein they produce thousands every freaking day. Like, I know parang 10,000 every day. So parang, wait a minute.
Oh, so that's why it's so cheap then, no?
Yeah, so that's why it's so cheap as well. So anyway, with Uniqlo, I respect the company. I love them. But at the end of the day, they still produce items on a weekly. So I guess, sort of. It's still fast fashion. It's just the underlying principles are different.
And the difference, I think, with Uniqlo is that they have life wear. It's not, they're not out there to make the trendy items in. It's the casual everyday items that keep the consumers away from the fast fashion mindset, but in terms of the production, it is still categorized as fast fashion. I guess that's how we can say
I think they're in their own special category, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I would think so too. Uniqlo is very fashion forward and also forward thinking in terms of like having a regenerative mindset. I think they were one of the first also to have a collection for recycled clothes. Mm-hmm. You were still there when they did that.
But yeah, I mean, all these brands, they already have their initiatives because, I mean, it's the future and they're in it. And it's what consumers look for as well.
No, that's very true. Actually, going to that direction, we noticed in the last maybe 5 years that many big brands are seeing the demand for like consumer accountability. Consumers demand for brand accountability in their garments. So it's become trendy to declare how much of the garment was recycled. Like you would see tags like recycled, 80% of this was made of recycled polyester, whatever. And given this, like how can we help the average consumer distinguish what is considered greenwashing and what actually is an impactful like tag on like or an eco label?
I think sustainability in fashion, I think it's not broadly understood yet properly. Perhaps it's necessary to put like a working definition. So I think sustainability, it's like about the thriving of nature and of people. So fashion operating within planetary bounds and with respect to human equality. So with that definition, I think the sustainability of an item, it's determined by like two main things. So that's design and also a sustainable value chain or a sustainable supply chain. So design, 80% of the environmental impact of any product, whether it's fashion or I don't know, microwave something, it's determined at the design stage. So is it made out of necessity? Is it made out of, I mean, is it made to be functional? Is it made to last?
Built to last,
So this means considering the garment or the product's like entire life cycle from its beginnings to its uses to its end of life phases. So that from the design stage, you already ensure like proper material selection. So for example, in fashion, you have the option of virgin materials. Virgin materials means extracting all the raw materials again and then creating something new. When you have a plethora of materials and fabrics that are already available or available to be recycled. So you have that and to ensuring that the garments are like high quality, long lasting, and also easy to recycle. So that's design. And I guess a sustainable supply chain, so which means working with lower impact materials and also working with suppliers that you can trust, that don't harm the environment, that don't harm people. So when you embed sustainability into your supply chain, then automatically, naturally, your items will be sustainable. I think for consumers, and it's also helpful for, I think, entrepreneurs and stuff to look for certifications. So I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, like, for example, like Zara, you can see their tags sometimes. It says like GOTS certified, G-O-T-S, or like BRS certified.
Yeah.
So GOTS is Global Organic Textile Standard, and then GRS, okay, Global Recycled Standards. So so certification.
Now I understand it.
yeah no, they have that a lot now because they like making it known rin na, yo,
yeah, I've been seeing it,
and I'll yo, this okay is GRS. So certifications for consumers, it's a very essential and a very useful tool to determine the integrity of a product, because these certifications, you know, you can trust that the product itself is legit, and also the processes used were legit too. It didn't harm the nature, it didn't harm people in the making of the product. So in reality, I think a fashion brand like doing a one-off sustainable collection, it doesn't really have a long-term difference, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right. But when sustainability is like embedded into the design and into the supply chain itself, automatically it's embedded into your product. So I think those go hand in hand. So if your business model still produces new items every week, it doesn't really matter if you're using recycled polyester.
That's true. You really have a great point. I never thought of it that way. So what do you think about you think shopping sustainably can like be affordable?
I think so. It's just it's more of a mindset that has to change.
I get you.
Yeah. So for example, before I buy anything, like you have to shop in your closet first.
Shop in your closet first before you go to the shopping cart, look at the closet.
Before I was into sustainability, before I even like cared about fashion, I hung out with the queen of fashion in 2015. Yeah, wala ang bola-bola shop out dito. 2015 pa lang, when we were in Paris, and I saw the way that you would style, like the way that you would have that minimalist wardrobe, you thought that me, you were the first person in Paris. I thought that fashion was just buying stuff and like, you know, getting whatever is new in stores. But like the way Carmela would, because we would sleep over and then go out the next day, and like the way she would dress, I was like, dude, Baron, this is so nice. And like, I think you told me something about like a minimalist wardrobe.
I forget.
And we were like, I think we were like, let's go shopping. And then you didn't shop. We just went to Colette. We just had like a cake or something.
With the rise of like TikTok trends and like all of these like crawls and things like that. Even worse.
Yeah. And I get so put off by it. But it's not something to even be proud of or post, especially if you know like what's going behind the whole industry and
behind
stuff.
The scenes.
And you know what's crazy, you know what I learned from my my studies, I bet you guys have heard that there's a percentage of millennials and of Gen Z that are willing to pay more for sustainable products, right? Quote unquote. I think more than 50%. But at the same time, you have these like new age fast fashion brands like Shein and Fashion Nova who are earning so much profit, and their main customer is Gen Z.
Are they young? Yeah, they target the young in particular.
Because... Yeah, so it's like we're not necessarily doing what we're saying rin eh, diba? You have that number, but then you have the profits of, you know, these new age fast fashion brands. So ano ba talaga?
Right. No, that's very true.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, Kanina, it's really consumer behavior that needs to change. I mean, side by side, of course, with the whole supply chain of different brands, and the big companies now need to be more forward thinking and innovative in terms of revamping or, you know, changing up their usual assembly line. But yeah, like, not everyone sees it this way, right? And the way that, like you mentioned, these brands try to make fashion look like it's a disposable item when in fact it should stay in your closet till it can't, until it's like broken. From a person who is as conscious as she is stylish, how can we keep the message of the cool life, of the conscious lifestyle, cool and trendy?
Fudge. Okay. I think first of all, I think what makes, I guess, a certain style cool or whatever is that you don't necessarily always have to rely on trends to make you feel better. So you always have to remember you wear the clothes, diba? The clothes don't wear you. So if you're always reliant on, like, you know, chasing these trends and whatever, then you're going to be a slave to that. However, if you buy what you're confident in, what's useful to you, what's functional to you, what fits well, then that in itself is already cool. So, I mean, just, no, Carrie, you're so annoying. You should see her. No, but I mean, I'm not kidding. So I guess that's what I practice in. I wear what I feel comfortable in at the end of the day. And I don't have to buy the latest crop top, halter top, ewan top, to like feel like I'm feeling good. Yeah, so that in itself is already cool. Like, I guess it can go hand in hand, sustainably shopping, buying ethical products with being cool. Maybe not necessarily trendy.
Do not be a slave to the trend. You are your own for you page.
Yeah,
oh my God, you are your own for you page.
Yeah,
dami quotes,
madami talaga guys, madami.
Kakainis, my God, ay nako.
Quotable quotes.
Yeah, dami, yeah. Sobrang dami.
Yeah, you don't have to make pilit every trend on you. Like, whatever fits you well, and then whatever makes you feel confident. That's it.
So, for you, Cycle, can you talk a little bit more about like the circular model? And I think it was R3?
Yeah.
R3.
I guess at U-Cycle, what we're trying to do here is transform the meaning of fashion design and its greater significance. So I mentioned design earlier, but I guess what we employ in U-Cycle is intentional design. So creating with intentionality from the outset and creating from a certain necessity and also for longevity. I always say this, I feel like I'm a broken record. I always say necessity, longevity, etc. So with this, we're providing a more holistic solution than just, you know, offering an option to recycle. So with this, we've also made a commitment to eliminating the use of 100% virgin materials. So at U-Cycle, we only use recycled, repurposed, and or natural or organic fibers. So in doing so, the material selection, the fabric itself, already has a lower impact than virgin materials. At the same time, you mentioned, Gabby, the R3 program. So this is the original pioneering program that I mentioned, that what my mom wanted to do. That in itself, we allow customers to return their uniforms so that we can recycle or repurpose them into new things. And this also extends to not just, you know, our usual B2B operations, but we recently launched the Renew Redenim collection. And this is more of our direct-to-consumer initiative that also allows consumers to participate in this, you know, circular economy by providing their old clothes and their old textiles so we can incorporate it into the denim, which is actually dead stock. So I guess at U-Cycle, we're not just offering a means for people to donate or put their like old clothes in, they don't know where to put now, but it's more of a it's more of us taking responsibility for the beginning and the uses and also the end of life phases of products. So it's a more holistic approach.
Sorry. So it's not like ideal for brands to just collect clothes and you can't just believe that all of it will be repurposed. Like you will only collect if you are definite that there is an end product to it that you can truly repurpose it. Because if you just keep collecting it, so the recycling system is unsustainable. I don't know, like, how does that work in fashion?
Recycling, well, the take back system, it's good in the sense that you know, producers take responsibility for their products' end of life. So as you know, typically a lot of these products, garments in general, they're just landfilled. They're burned, they're incinerated. So like one garbage truck of clothing is incinerated every second. It's thrown to the landfill every second. Ah. So much crazy, right? So offering a take back system, it's good. However, recyclability, it's very difficult. So for example, it's easy to recycle products that are 100% this material. Fiber. So yeah, for example, if you have something that's polyester and spandex, automatically that's very, very difficult to recycle. In terms of like the technological innovation, no one really has the machinery for that yet. As opposed to something that's 100% polyester or 100% cotton, then that's easier to recycle. But that's just recycling, right? You also have repurposing. So for example, repurposing, let me just give you an example. I won't reveal the brand yet, but we're working with this brand and they have thousands of t-shirts that they weren't able to sell. So what we're doing for them is we're going to restrip the t-shirts, we're going to cut them into strips, and then we're going to reweave them into a new fiber. So that's not necessarily recycling, that's repurposing. And with this new fiber, we're turning them into something else. I can't say it yet, but something else.
It's a surprise.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
I can't wait to see.
Yeah. No, same. I can't wait to see you in kasi
first of it.
Recycling, I think a lot of people, they gravitate towards recycling, but there are more options than just
other options.
Recycling.
Because recycling is the most expensive option. It's the third one.
Yes. It's very expensive and it's very difficult. You also have reworking, like for example, you have like, let's say, a bag and then it has like a hole. You can rework it by, I don't know, like adding other stuff,
putting a new patch
a new patch or whatever. So there are a lot of options. It's just a lot of people just think it's about recycling, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna ask, for your denim, is that all dead stock also and like donated, or is that sourced from another like textile manufacturer?
Okay, so for the re-denim denim, that's all dead stock. So dead stock is essentially stock that wasn't used by another company because So it's a systemic issue wherein, for example, let's say a client, a big corporate client makes an order. And then of course the manufacturer buys the fabric for that order. But once the client says that, I think that's not the right color. You already
really?
Bought. Yeah, that's possible. So you already bought the fabric, right?
Yeah, and then fabric.
And then the client's just like, it's whatever. Let's just get another one. So what do you do with that fabric essentially? So there's a lot of dead stock in the world. I mean, also inventory wise for fashion.
Yeah.
Brands, like, what do they do with the items that they can no longer sell, especially when it goes on sale? When it goes on markdown, I mean, sale and markdown, those are the last efforts of companies to sell out their remaining inventory. But there's a huge chunk of that remains unsold.
Don't get
sold,
yeah.
Yeah. So there, going back to your question, Danny, all of that was dead stock. And then for the custom pieces, those were all taken from the customers who wanted to customize their piece and by giving their old clothes, textiles, etc.
Breathing new life. Yes. Oh. Back to the garments.
Yeah. So there.
I super loved. I remember when Carrie told us about this first. I love the workwear jackets. I mean, you can really see the Japanese influence because it's so like casual but structured.
I really appreciate your kind words. Thank you so much.
So what's the bigger picture looking like for you, Saiko? Like, are you, what's the longer term goal for the company past the mission?
I'd still like to stick to our vision. So Our vision is to pioneer a circular fashion model by becoming the country's leading end-to-end corporate wear solutions company. So with this, I really want to transform the corporate wear scene in the Philippines. Because, I mean, right now at the moment, we really have no competitor. You can think of that as something good, but that's something true. Bad as well. Because we have to create a demand for this. And if we had more competitors, maybe there would be more of a demand from these other corporations. So yeah, that's one. And at the same time, with Renew, on the other hand, that's more of our business and direct-to-consumer line. What I want to keep doing is to keep engaging.
Renew R3NU.
Oh my God! Yeah, I thought that was not obvious.
No, that's just me. Sorry. I thought it was like a R3NU kind of R2D2.
I feel like I should have clarified that maybe.
No,
sorry, no, that's just
me. I think that's pretty straightforward. That's just Gary.
Yeah, made me worry.
Because if you, I was looking at it on the website, so I read it as Renew.
Thank you, Gary.
It just hit me now.
Yeah, but anyway, for Renew, that's more of our direct-to-consumer line. So I want to continue surprising people and engaging with people to show them that, these are the possibilities of upcycling. Perhaps before you've had an image of eco fashion, sustainable fashion, in a negative sense that, sacrifices maybe aesthetic, beauty, fit, etc. But with us, no, because we put style and design first, we integrate sustainability seamlessly into the whole process. So, yeah.
I actually wanted to clarify this earlier because corporate or workwear is a pretty new term or unfamiliar term for the average shopper. So is it first word I think that I associate with it is uniforms. Wearing it, let's say if you're going into the office, an average 9-to-5 job, you don't really have, let's say, a mandatory uniform, right? So what does your client, I don't know if you would say client or client look like, and is it a school, you're creating school uniforms but for employees of a company? Because those are super nice. I'd love to have that as a uniform if I were
very valid question, actually. Well, the uniforms or the corporate wear, our typical client, imagine hotels. Integrated resort. So what housekeeping is wearing, what the front desk is wearing, what greeters are wearing, airlines, what the stewardess is wearing, the pilot, etc. So when I say corporate wear, it's really uniforms of these businesses that require them to come in with a certain image, which comes from their uniform. So it's not their clothes. And essentially these uniforms, they last 3 to 5 years. So it's something they use on the daily that represents their brand. So
So where do you see the fashion industry as a whole going in terms of adopting circularity and the business model? It's hard to really change at the moment, but some positivity. Hoping they would actually change their model and how they actually produce everything. But
yeah. I think it's definitely the future, and these big brands, they're already moving towards that. Especially in the luxury industry, it's really the main differentiating factor nowadays, I think. For example, Kering, the owner of Gucci. Yeah, they're the pioneers in sustainability. Yeah, actually now. So
YSL, all the high fashion brands.
Yeah. Mm. So basically the collaban of LVMH. But usually kasi luxury starts the trend for everything, then it trickles down. So
that's a good point.
Once you see luxury starting with something, more or less you can expect in a few months, it's going to trickle down now. So definitely I think circularity and sustainability, it's the future for as long as people see it as something that's not a constraint. as something that, you know, offers, you know, endless possibilities. So there's a great opportunity, I think, to create like value for any business. And I mean, our work in fashion, there's an opportunity for it to be more meaningful now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In the Met Gala this year, Billie Eilish wore Oscar de la Renta only if they promised to remove fur from their lineup, and they did. So I feel like high fashion was slowly getting in on the trend. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you know, if you're in touch with the mga Hollywood, whatever, like you see a lot of these celebrities reusing dresses from old collections.
Right.
Yeah. Who did that ba? I forget.
Angelina Jolie passing on her dresses to her kids.
Yeah, and... exactly. Aww, also, Cindy.
That's so cute.
So yeah, I mean, like when you're seeing it there with luxury, and when you're seeing it there in with like these A-list celebrities and whatever, that's gonna trickle down there in.
Yeah, so it's a top-down approach. But I mean, further on top of like the highest, mm-hmm. like, I mean, the high fashion luxury brands, do you think it's realistic to for fashion in general to adopt the concept of circularity without any government intervention, like without policing, let's say the fast fashion brands that don't account for environmental or even labor laws? Will it be harder like to adopt this?
I mean, definitely carry your face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crucial to collaborate with like other companies and especially the government to make any real and lasting change, especially when it comes to sustainability. And like, so in order to take sustainable innovation to scale, you need the help of the government. Like one company alone can't change the issues. As much as I want to change the issues, I mean, I can't do that by myself with one company. You need the government, you need competitors, and you also need the demand from people. So I guess, you know, in the Philippines particularly, there has to be a higher demand for I guess accountability and transparency within fashion. I mean, you have the local fashion brands, the biggest fashion brands, like
Ben.
Do I say it? But okay, you said it.
It's not a secret.
So are they following suit? I mean, sustainability, I'm not so sure. But if anything, they're in the right place and they're in the seat of power to
do it. Yeah.
Right. But are they? I'm not so sure. You see more of the international brands doing that, but love local, diba? What are you
local? It's a hard balance to support the local economy or to follow international standards.
So I think at the end of the day, Perrin, it's still the producer's responsibility, though. For as long as you make, people will come, and if you make well, people will come, right?
And I feel like with government regulation, it will be easier to integrate the cost of environmental impact in the balance sheets of like fashion companies, because right now, like once it's made and once it's sold, nothing else matters. Like there's no cost of like the waste that they will generate for that particular product, or carbon emissions producing that product and stuff. So integrating that will definitely help police brands when the cost is accounted for, like not just in an environmental aspect, but in an economic aspect as well.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, the government can support, like, I mean, you know, the Philippines has how many types of weaves? We have all the natural fibers that freaking, like, all the other countries want, like abaca.
Like, definitely.
Yeah, abroad, what do they call abaca? Basta, they have a term. Hemp.
Hemp. Hemp
abaca?
Hemp is abaca. All these, you know, European, all these European brands, whatever, where do they get their abaca? From us.
Yeah.
But if, you know, the government regulated it better, like, you guys should watch. Yeah. I don't know the name of the documentary. Well, I've seen a bunch, like, Jessica Soho stuff also. Like, the harvesting of abaca, it's so, so difficult. And these farmers, they're left to their own. And, like, if only the government helped them, then, you know, they could have a more sustainable lifestyle. So, I mean, there's a lot to be done in the Philippines because we're so rich in natural resources and, you know, the creativity of people here. So,
dude, this is awesome.
One day.
we like to end our podcasts on a hopeful note so that our listeners have like tangible action items or just like a piece of advice that they can take away with each episode. And so we like to ask our guests, how can we turn this world around? Char.
Okay. I guess I have like two perspectives on this because I am a consumer, but now I'm also a producer, right? So I guess for consumers, it's just practice more conscious decision making, because for fashion, it's no longer just about looking good. It's about feeling good about the decisions you make, right? About the things you purchase. Like I said, shop in your closet first. And if you do feel the need to shop, then buy what you need, buy less, buy higher quality, longer lasting, but buy what you can afford, you know. As a producer, naman, whether you're a designer, an entrepreneur, like a fashion professional, we're all like working towards the same vision of doing something great. But something great doesn't mean it's like something that's just commercially viable anymore. It's more about like in the future, especially, it's more about doing things that are environmentally responsible and with a social conscience. So as a producer, can you be proud of your product? For its beauty, for its aesthetic, but more so for its like impact on the world.
That's beautiful. You heard it. You heard it from Carmela herself, guys.
You're so like, annoying. You can't, my God.
Like the trends, can't be a slave to that. You be your own person and just conscious about what you bring in and what you bring out. And
or shop in your sister's closet.
Yeah. Oh my God. Mom's closet. Favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
All right.
This was honestly such a great episode. Thank you so much, Carmela, for sharing with us your amazing words of wisdom. I'm very excited to extract many quotable quotes.
Thank you, though. This was fun. I never really had a conversation with people about.
Thank you, guys, for listening.
All right. And that wraps up our episode, guys. We're Earth friends and the Earth is
our friend.
The Earth is our friend. Yes. Yeah, that's the end. Rock and roll. Okay, I forgot. Sorry. It's been a while. Thanks, guys.